We're joined right now by an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today. He is a very good friend of the program. He is Jason Lockenfora. Jason, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm being followed by my shadow here, my dog. I'm trying to break free from him, but he's on me like Minka Fitzpatrick on jump balls right now. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. I warn you in advance, my friend.
Thank you very much, JLC. I appreciate it, too. All right, so you and I saw each other yesterday, and in between that time that we spoke, the Baltimore Ravens put an absolute beating on the Patriots. You've been making the case about the importance of Lamar Jackson in Baltimore since the very moment he was drafted. What did you make of what you saw from him last night?
He's the winning football player. You know, he cares so much. He's so selfless. He's willing to do whatever it takes to win the next play, to win the next series, to win the next game. It's never really about him, even though he's completely, you know, resurrected this franchise. I mean, go back a year ago, they're 4-5. They're getting whacked all over the place. You got Joe Flacco throwing for 4 yards per attempt. It's check down after check down. There's thousands of empty seats. You can't give Raven seats away. People are trying to sell their PSLs for pennies on the dollar. And then you fast forward to this point last night where there was more buzz about this game than any they've played probably since the Super Bowl. I mean, this was a home game where it was a legitimate tough ticket. And they've played what would amount to playoff games at home the last few years in December, you know, needing only to beat the Bengals to go in. And there's thousands of people staying at home, just not even going out there to see it because they were kind of sick of the product and sick of that old Ravens offensive identity. And this kid has just changed everything. And I thought that was always going to be a tricky spot for the Patriots. Second straight week, facing a team coming off a bye, with their bye looming, coming into a bit of a hornet's nest here, with a team that really just wants to run it down their throat. And that is sort of the dirty little secret of the Patriots' defense, Jim. We've talked about how otherworldly it's been, and it has been, but the yards per carry against them has been right at the league average, if not a little worse. And there's no volume there, right? Nobody had run for 200 yards a game or anything close to it against them because nobody's running the ball more than 10 or 15 times because they're winning by 25 every week. But Baltimore flipped the script, and we saw how that went.
We're talking to Jason Lockenfora. So if you're Bill Belichick, Jason, are you more concerned about the defense or the offense?
I mean, look, he's always concerned about everything. He's such a, you know, ridiculous perfectionist. But I think, you know, you sit back on the bye and you think about where you are, and there was no room for progress with the defense. It was not going to get any better, and even playing up to that level was going to be impossible because here comes Lamar Jackson, and then it's going to be Carson Wentz, and then they get Prescott, but then it's Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. So the offense is going to have to make some gains. I thought they would have added a tight end or an offensive lineman at the deadline, as well as Mohamed Sanu. We saw how much Mohamed Sanu immediately meant to them last night and how much Brady was looking for him, and he's kind of like a second Edelman for them now, which they need. But besides Philip Dorsett, I don't know who stretches the field. They need N'Keal Harry to be an impact guy when he starts playing football after the bye. There's certainly room for progress on offense, and I think that's where they're going to have to open it up a little bit more and try a few more shots downfield and try to make teams defend them a little differently because they're not running the ball very well.
NFL insider Jason Lockenfora joins us once again. So, Jason, you and I spoke about Gardner Minshew and the Jags yesterday, but
yeah,
his performance in London was his worst to date. How do you expect Jacksonville to handle the quarterback situation when Nick Foles is healthy?
Had Minshew kept Minshew mania alive, I don't think there would have been much debate about it. They would have, I mean, if he got them to 5-4 and they're second in that division, and he did well against the you know, on paper best team in that division, then even the people who were paying Nick Foles would have had a hard time going to bat for him. But, and it's only one game, but because it was so bad and because they are paying Foles all that money, I could see them at least wanting to get a look at what they paid for. I would stick with the kid and look at the long view and the 15-year window he may open up for you versus having Nick Foles for one more year and then getting out from under the contract in all likelihood. But they've done a lot of things that I wouldn't do over the last few years, and this will probably be another one.
Jason Luckenfora joins us. All right, JLC, I did build that Cleveland Browns bandwagon myself. I need to own that.
Me
that was
too.
A really, Jason, really rough game yesterday, and it's no one-off either. If you're looking at the team right now, what is your biggest concern?
The state of the offense and Baker Mayfield and them still not really having an identity, but knowing in the back of their head what their identity should be, especially with Kareem Hunt coming off suspension, which is we should be doing what the Steelers are doing. And yeah, Mason Rudolph and where he was drafted and what he projects to be is a lot different than the Baker Mayfield and all the hype of first overall. But right now, as much as you paid Odell and Jarvis Landry, you should probably be coming up with intricacies in your run game and trying to attack teams differently on the ground and putting Baker in downs and distances and situations where he doesn't have to try to play hero ball, doesn't have to try to take a seven-step drop. I get people saying they got to force feed it to Odell more now too, but that quarterback does not look right to me. He looks skittish. He doesn't seem confident. He seems like he's kind of just jittery almost and playing at such a hurried pace. Like the offense itself doesn't have great pace, but he to me kind of always looks like he's just kind of running around or just not, you know, taking a deep breath and giving himself a chance to operate. It's not good. It's just not. And the defense has started to regress. And the penalties, I mean, go back to week one Tennessee, and it was something like, I don't know, 170 penalty yards or something crazy like that. They had five guys get fined. That's who they are. They haven't shaken that. That's not the anomaly. That's become their DNA. I would be going to Freddie Kitchens and saying, hey, Todd Monken's a really good coach, and we might only have him for a year. And, like, play calling his thing is his thing, and you've got enough else to do. Like, why don't you let somebody else try this for a while?
Jason Luckenfora is my guest for another moment or two. Jason, what about Adam Gase? How worried should Adam Gase be for his future in New York?
You have to be worried at this point. Nothing's really gone right. In the building, outside the building, I mean, every week there's another drama, there's another situation, another fire or two to put out. Sam Darnold is trending in the wrong direction. It's not all on him. The offensive line's a problem. You know, they haven't figured out what they're doing with Le'Veon Bell. I mean, the problem is, like, nobody's shining. You know what I mean? Robbie Anderson, like, they're trying to get a two or a three for him. Nah, people would take him for a four, and if you're not going to pay him, you might as well get that pick. But, you know, even that didn't go right. I it's not much to hang your hat on, and the problem for them is they got Miami coming up again in about a month, and they get swept by them. I don't know. You know what I mean? That would be a tough thing to survive.
Jason Luckenfora, I don't see how he could, is my guess. One last thought. You know, as you pointed out in your insider notes column on CBSSports.com, Mitchell Trubisky needs to be benched. Can you actually see that happening, or are they just too wedded to him for that to happen?
I think this is another one where you go so far down that road and you double down. It's kind of like bordering, you know, bordering all over again. Everybody else can see the thing for what it is, but your vision and your decision make is so clouded by who you think that player could be or who you wish that player was, and hoping he lives up to the draft billing, in this case trading up for him when nobody was taking him in front of you anyway. I think they probably pushed that down the road as far as they can. But I just wonder about the makeup of that defense, and if at some point, you know, 9 yards at halftime. I mean, come on. You know, at some point you throw them a bone and let the other guy give it a shot. And then this offseason will be very interesting, whether they go for a Tannehill or they go for a Dalton. There's going to have to be somebody behind door number two who has at least won some games in this league as a starting quarterback. If not, then that's, you know, organizational subterfuge. I mean, you're not giving yourself a fighting chance.
Jason, one last thought, because you've been on this before too. As head coaching seats get hotter and hotter, you've pointed out that David Shaw's name is getting a lot of run as a potential NFL head coach. I bring it up because we've heard that before. He has not been interested.
Yeah.
Do you think this time it might be different for him?
We'll see. You know, I have different people telling me different things on that. People who've been in contact with him in the past and even now. It seems like Stanford slipped a little bit. You know, and some of those other schools in the Pac-10 maybe catching up, or, you know, we'll see. Can you know, USC ever get it turned around? Maybe it's as good as it ever was going to be, and this is not a bumper crop of coaching candidates, and that's a guy who could absolutely call his shot in a lot of different ways. And, I mean, imagine if the Dallas Cowboys job was open, both New York jobs were open. And I know he's a West Coast guy, but the Giants job in particular always kind of has a lot of cachet to it. The Redskins, in the past, it's been a great job. It's not now, and I don't think he'd go there. But imagine if he's the top guy out there and you've got these, you know, 5-6 owners falling all over themselves to try to get you. I learned a long time ago in this league, Jim, never say never.
I agree with you. And I know he loves that lifestyle. I know he loves it at Stanford, but you're right. I mean, never say never, and especially if he's got that kind of juice and that kind of leverage. He's an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today. Jason, the dog had a really, really good effort. I only heard him once.
Yeah, I'll give him like a B+. He's got a squeaky toy now. But yeah, we survived, Jim. We survived.
Nice job, JLC. Thanks, I appreciate buddy. It. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Good job, Jason. As always, Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Also, because of Drew Kalisky, I got to kick it with JLC in the A block yesterday. That was fun.